Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemire.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Zimbabwe says it has made significant strides in combating the HIV/AIDS pandemic and is meeting health millennium development goals set by the United Nations.
The number of people dying from HIV and AIDS-related illness is dramatically or drastically reduced to less than 50,000. And this is an indication that treatment is now working.
Zimbabweans are facing eviction at the Central Methodist Church in Johannesburg, South Africa, say there is a ray of hope in getting alternative accommodation following some offers made by different organizations.
Roughly out of the 400-something, which is still at Methodist, 80% is Zimbabwean counterparts. Some have left, those who are remaining are the ones that are stranded.
And Zimbabweans... The director of the AIDS and Tuberculosis Unit in the Health and Child Care Ministry, Dr. Owen Mugurungi, says the government has made significant strides in combating the HIV/AIDS pandemic and is meeting the Health Millennium Development Goals set by the United Nations. Dr. Mugurungi points to the reduction in the HIV prevalence rate, mother-to-child transmission, and access to drugs. The Millennium Development Goals are 8 specific development targets set in 2010 that all 192 United Nations member states and at least 23 international organizations have agreed to achieve by this year. The sixth goal focuses on combating HIV, AIDS, malaria, and other diseases. But activists are warning that the worsening economic crisis will reverse the gains. Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa says at least 4,500 companies have closed since 2011, sending more than 55,443 employees onto the streets. Dr. Mugurungi tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that he is pleased by the progress Harare is making and feels that Zimbabwe is on the track in meeting its 2015 Millennium Goals addressing HIV AIDS.
Today, the number of people dying from HIV and AIDS-related illness is dramatically or drastically reduced to less than 50,000. And this is an indication that treatment is now working. You also can look at the prevalence. The prevalence, it came down to 13.9% in 2009, and it has maintained around that figure of 14. Now it's about 15.
Would you say Zimbabwe is meeting the targets it is set to achieve in fighting the disease?
We gain in terms of prevalence, not because there are more people infected, but simply because the number of people that we've put on treatment is good, and a lot of people are now surviving. People are no longer dying. However, when you look at the rate of new infection, this is continuing to decline. We estimate that incidence or new infection has declined from around 1% to 0.85%. The number of new infections that we record in adults has come down from around 150,000 again 10 years ago, 150,000 per year 10 years ago in 2002, to less than 50,000 currently. The number of new infections in children through mother-to-child transmission is also dramatically reduced from around 30% in 2002 to less than 8% in 2013.
That was Director of the AIDS and Tuberculosis Unit in the Health and Child Care Ministry, Dr. Owen Mugurungi, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu in Harare. But Coordinator of the International Community of Women Living with HIV in Zimbabwe, Martha Tolana, tells Blessing Zulu that economic problems are eroding the gains the government has made over the years.
It seems with the declining economy, a lot of companies are closing. People are being asked to pay for services at the health facilities. And also people have difficulty in getting to the health facilities. So it's become very difficult for a lot of people to access health services. It's becoming more and more difficult. People lose jobs. People need to get treatment. And people who have been in jobs have also been the ones supporting a lot of other people. So it means along the line, one person loses a job, a lot of people suffer because of that. So in many ways, we see that when we look at transport costs, the user fees, and also the fact that companies are closing, people are not even getting their termination packages because the companies cannot afford. And even the organizations that used to support people who are in difficulties are also closing down, and also they are not getting funding and they are unable to continue supporting a lot of the people who need HIV services. A lot of HIV orphans were getting support in terms of school fees, but I think some organizations are closing. They are no longer able to fund those.
So assistance from the international community is drying up.
To us on the ground, it is drying up. From the sources that we were used to say these are the ones that support, it's declining. And also for those who might still have funding, it seems their priorities also shift.
That was coordinator of the International Community of Women Living with HIV in Zimbabwe, Martha Tolana, speaking with the Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Zimbabweans facing eviction at the Central Methodist Church in Johannesburg, South Africa, say there's a ray of hope in getting alternative accommodation following some offers made by different organizations. Indications are that Bishop Paul Verin, who has been taking care of refugees, including hundreds of Zimbabweans, has received some offers from Bloemfontein, Welkom and Potchefstroom, and a community center in southwestern townships or Soweto. Al Jazeera reported that a non-governmental organization, Sector 27, supported by civil society organizations, has called on the South African government to assist the evicted refugees. Bishop Verin told Studio 7 that some people have already started vacating the church, though he could not say how many or where they are moving to. A local human rights activist has also filed an urgent court application to block the eviction of refugees from the Methodist Church. Noel Muguti, who is still at the church, tells Studio 7 that they were told that the place should be free of the refugees come Sunday.
Actually, people are still there, but they are told to leave by Sunday so that people will come to the church service where they will find no refugee there.
We heard that today Bishop Paul Verin was going to inspect accommodation that has been identified.
I haven't got any results yet, but as soon as I get the results, I'll let you know. Because so far he has gone there. But the outcome of that meeting, since I'm not there, I cannot say anything about it.
But what are individuals doing to have alternative accommodation?
You know, it's a difficult situation. Everyone is still wondering what will happen because other people really don't have any alternative to go.
How many Zimbabweans are there at the Methodist Church?
Roughly out of the 400 something, which is still at Methodist, 80% is Zimbabwean counterparts. Some have left. Those who are remaining are the ones that are stranded and they are struggling to raise anything.
What are other organizations doing to help?
So far, I haven't seen any organization trying to help Bishop Paul Verin. It's only people from afar who are trying to help.
What will happen come Sunday?
On that issue, I'm in dark just because we expected everything on the 31st, but still people are still hanging and lingering around, meaning that are still staying. So maybe some people will still hang on up to Sunday just because they will be saying we will be staying here, since they are resisting to go due to lack of financial input.
That was Noel Muguti at the Central Methodist Church in Johannesburg, South Africa. Meanwhile, South African Home Affairs authorities say they will next week release the final figures of applicants who were processed under the Zimbabwe Special Permit Program, which ended on New Year's Eve. Nearly 208,000 permit applications have been processed, and 38,000 former permit holders now face deportation if they did not meet the deadline. South African Home Affairs Minister Malusi Gigaba told journalists Wednesday that those that did not apply for permits may have left the country, while others could have regularized their stay in the country through other means, and some simply have failed to apply. Gigaba said those who failed to regularize their stay faced deportation. This phase of the Zimbabwe Special Permit Program, announced in August, will extend and regularize permit holders' stay in South Africa until 2017.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Primary and Secondary Education Minister Lazarus Dokora says the government has enrolled 200 teachers at Great Zimbabwe University who will be expected to teach minority languages. Dokora told journalists in Harare recently that these candidates will teach Venda, Tonga, Shangaan, Nambia and Kalanga soon after graduating from the university. He said they are part of the ministry's capacity development program designed to boost the teaching of minority languages in the country. The teachers will be tasked with introducing minority language curriculum up to grade 7. There are currently no final examinations graded by the Ministry of Education for these minority languages. Zimbabwe's constitution recognizes 16 minority languages. English, Shona and Sindebele have been the major languages used at primary, secondary and tertiary institutions.
Zimbabwe experienced turbulent times in 2014 and some moments of glory. Before the new year starts rolling, let us rewind a little bit and listen to what some Zimbabweans said in 2014.
We are the opposition, and I think to try to say that we are not taking advantage of the crisis in Zimbabwe, I think it's totally inappropriate. Yes, we also have to move to put our house in order, and that's what we need to plan for the next government.
I'm not a rebel. I don't belong to politics of confusion and anarchy. I believe in domestic remedy.
My name is Marcelina Chitasha. I'm the interim leader of the African Democratic Party. We decided to come together as God-fearing individuals and turn our despair into action.
If we all have a commitment to contributing to solving the problems of our people, and we are not looking to go on huge ego trips about whose name is in the top box. So the Grand Coalition, as I would say, excludes no one, or should exclude no one.
We've actually signed a memorandum of understanding, a very comprehensive memorandum of understanding on talks on a reunification. I want to underline the word a reunification. So this is not a coalition.
I have no doubt that if we are able to do that, put forward a candidate of a united front, I have no doubt in my mind that that candidate can and will win the next election in Zimbabwe.
The most important, as far as ZAPU is concerned, is first making sure that the devolution of power which the people voted for in the new constitution is implemented to the full.
you when you're mine.
In some parts of the world, some events that captured the world in 2014 include the disappearance of Malaysian plane MH370 with 239 passengers on board in March. This was closely followed by the crash of another Malaysian plane, MH71, with 298 people aboard in Ukraine. Just before the end of the year, Air Asia Flight 8501 went down, killing all 162 passengers and crew on board.
Clashes between Ukrainian separatists and government security forces left over 4,000 people dead, while the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, or ISIS, captured large Iraqi territory before the intervention of some Western and Middle East allies to stop the march towards Baghdad.
The killing of a United States unarmed black teenager Michael Brown and subsequent lack of indictment of the white policeman who gunned him down in the state of Missouri graced news headlines. Still in the United States, President Barack Obama's Democrats lost control of the Senate in an election won by the Republicans.
Of course, there were some light moments in the world in 2014. Hip-hop musician Kanye West and reality television star Kim Kardashian tied the knot. Kim has two previous marriages. In England, the Buckingham Palace announced that Prince William and Kate Middleton were expecting another baby 18 months after the birth of first son George.
And the World Cup's fever once gripped the world. Soccer fans still remember Brazil's dismal performance against Germany. They lost by 7-1. The World Cup was won by Germany.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
Coming up,
some workers and business executives say the future looks bleak for most Zimbabweans.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Search teams in the Java Sea have begun using underwater detection equipment to recover bodies and wreckage from the Air Asia passenger jet that disappeared this week and apparently went down this week on a flight from Surabaya, Indonesia to Singapore. Speaking to reporters in Jakarta, the chief of Indonesia's National Search and Rescue Agency said improving weather conditions have resulted in more and more bodies being recovered.
Workers and business executives in Zimbabwe's Chinoy Town, Mashonaland and West Province have expressed mixed feelings over the new year, with some saying the future looks bleak for most people due to lack of jobs as a result of the shrinking economy. But some are optimistic that the economy will rebound if all stakeholders focus on reviving industries and other sectors. Our correspondent Arthur Chigoriwa reports from the provincial capital.
Civil servant Obed Karinga of Chikonoho 19th suburb is a disappointed man, as he has not yet received his 13th cheque after the government decided to stagger the payment of bonuses in 2014 owing to dwindling finances. To compound his misery, Karinga says government failed to pay workers on time. He says the staggering of bonuses might be a bad indicator of worse days ahead.
It's all gloom and doom. Especially more so when we have the government failing to pay its workers in time, it might mean that we may resort to the Zim dollar, which might be very costly to the country as well.
Businessman Abisha Karonga concurs, saying 2015 is likely to be worse than last year as the cost of production goods for sale continues to rise.
The cost of production here or the cost of fixed overheads, they're very high. I can't invent anything.
But private construction worker Kenny Nyakoche is optimistic that the country's economy will improve this year. Nyakoche pins his hopes on agriculture, saying Zimbabwe is likely to record a bumper crop harvest this year as it is currently receiving heavy rains. agriculture used to be the mainstay of the economy until the late 1990s, when the Zimbabwe economy started crumbling due to various factors, including hyperinflation and internal political conflicts. Nyakoche further says politicians in the ruling ZANU-PF, fond of fighting over trivial issues at times, are expected to focus on reviving the ailing economy.
The new leadership, I think, is going to bring us a better life, a better economy to the country.
His views are echoed by Karonga, who bemoans the lack of harmony among all stakeholders in tackling the economy, which, according to government, was set to grow by more than 3% in 2014.
As a country, we are divided. So that's one thing which is not good for the country. We need to come up with a social contract. The government, the business, and even the labor, they must be in harmony in order for us to move forward.
Although various sectors of the economy are struggling to survive due to lack of capital and other issues, some Chinoy residents say the country should reintroduce its own currency. They believe, without elaboration, that it is improper to use the United States dollar, Botswana pula, South African rand, and other currencies. According to Nyakoche, such moves will complement what he calls commendable efforts taken by the government to introduce special bond coins minted in South Africa.
There is nothing bad about these coins. I think it was long overdue. In fact, 2009, when he introduced this multi-currency whatever, we were not even supposed to have killed our own currency.
The coins, which have the same value as the United States cents, were released into the money market 2 weeks ago. Zimbabwe adopted a multi-currency system in 2009 owing to historic hyperinflation. Some Zimbabweans are refusing to use the coins, claiming that the country is attempting to reintroduce the damned Zimbabwean dollar. Central Bank Governor John Mangunja has dismissed these suggestions, saying local people will not be forced to use the coins worth $10 million. Local commuter Peter Ngondowe believes that Zimbabwe made a big blunder when it introduced the coins in an effort to tackle the general shortage of change in the country. Despite most of these challenges, some Chinoy residents still hope for the best in 2015, saying the government should tackle corruption, implement relevant policies to attract foreign investors, and engage both the West and Asia in order to create a conducive environment for significant economic growth this year. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chinoy, this is Arthur Chiguriwa.
And in our sports news segment, we look back at 2014, and the year has been tough for Zimbabwean sports, with most of the country's national teams failing to make a mark internationally. Reporter Michael Cariati chronicles Zimbabwe's disastrous year and looks into the future.
Apart from the Davis Cup team's qualification to the 2015 Euro Africa Zone Group 2, there was nothing to cheer for Zimbabweans as the country suffered humiliation in most sporting disciplines like soccer, rugby, cricket, and others. Davis Cup players Mark Finn and Tinotenda Chanakira were eliminated in the second round of the ITF satellite circuit, which the country hosted, painting a gloomy picture of the future of singles tennis in the country. Veteran tennis player Cara Black had a good season on the Women's Tennis Association Tour, winning three titles with her Indian partner Sonia Mirza. They won in Portugal, Tokyo, and scooped the BNP Paribas WTA title in Beijing. Although Charles Manucci gave Zimbabweans something to smile about after winning the World Boxing Council International Welterweight title, the rugby squad, affectionately known as the Sables, failed to win Africa's sole ticket to the 2015 World Cup, losing out to Namibia in the process. Rugby was even hit harder after the National Rugby League ended prematurely, as the local clubs could not afford to put some of the financial requirements when Lion Lager withdrew their sponsorship. As if this was not enough, the national soccer team, the Warriors, also failed to qualify for the finals of the 2015 Africa Cup of Nations. They were dismissed 3-2 by lower-rated Tanzania in a crucial qualifying match. Agitated football administrators subsequently dissolved the national team following the Tanzanian debacle, resulting in the drafting of the Young Warrior squad into all Zimbabwe soccer international engagement. The defeat tamed the scalp of national coach Ian Goroa, who lost his job with the Warriors starter to their worst ever elimination in the Nations Cup since their debut in 1980. The Zimbabwe Football Association also humiliated the nation after bidding for the 2017 Africa Cup of Nations without the basic requirements. The bid was thrown out before the research had started. But the worst for sports fans was still to come, as the Zimbabwe national cricket team was thrashed 3-0 in test matches and 5-0 in one-day internationals, or ODIs, by Bangladesh, widely regarded as the weakest team in test cricket. That is not all. Even Dynamo's football club, one Southern Africa's played bearers in Pan-African football, failed for the third year running to reach the main league stage of the Confederation of African Football, or CAF Champions League, after losing in the first round to AS Vita of the Democratic Republic of Congo. However, the good news for Dynamo is that the club retained the coveted domestic Kasolaga Premier Soccer League title, making it four times in a row. Although another league title excited their fans, coach Kalisto Pasua packed his bags and left the club, saying it accomplished his mission. Although Zimbabwe successfully hosted the Africa Sports Council Region 5 Youth Games, the country could not translate that hosting advantage into medals as they finished second behind South Africa. Zimbabwe authorities appear to have been monitoring all the events, as Sports Minister Andrew Langer admitted at the annual National Sports Awards that they were honoring mediocrity, adding that most local sports persons failed to live up to their billing in 2014. But there were celebrations for some tough competitors like Rutendo Nyahora, who won virtually every marathon in the country, including the Westgate Half Marathon, Good Marathon, Vumba Mountain Run, and the Victoria Falls Marathon. Nyahora and boxer Manyuchi smiled all the way to their banks as they got thousands of dollars in their sporting field. The boxer, who also scooped the 2014 Zimbabwe Sportsperson of the Year Award, strongly believes that he deserved the national award. As Zimbabweans reflect on what has been a bad year gone by, it is also important that they also look forward to the future with renewed vigor and optimism. The Cricket World Cup is coming. Zimbabwe has been drawn in the same group with South Africa, India, Pakistan, the West Indies, Ireland, and the United Emirates in the finals to be jointly hosted by Australia and New Zealand. A new coach, Australian Dave Watmore, has been appointed, and Zimbabwe cricket chairman Wilson Manasse says the coach is the right choice for the national team.
He comes here with a passion to make our game great.
In soccer, although Dynamo have withdrawn from the CAF Champions League, FC Platinum to feature in the CAF Confederations Cup, the Midland side have been drawn against Sofapaka of Kenya in the preliminary round. Coach Norman Mapeza says they are going to give it their best shot.
We'll push. One step at a time.
At the same time, the Davis Cup, which participated in the Elite World Group way back in 1999, hope to continue their climb back up the ladder with a death against Bosnia Herzegovina at Harare Sports Club in March, but fans are not yet available to host the tie. Tennis Zimbabwe President Regis Bunu is appealing for support.
Talking of way above 100,000.
The year will also mark the final stage of selecting the Zimbabwean team for the 2016 Olympic Games. A short list has been made, and seven-time Olympic medal winner Kate Coventry is one of those athletes. Manyuchi, too, will be hard-pressed to make the mandatory defense of both his Africa Boxing Union and WBC international titles.
Thanks, Michael. Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will be talking with listeners about the year 2015. What are your New Year resolutions?
And that's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.
And I'm Chris Gande, wishing you a very pleasant night. A good night, Zimbabwe.